From Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, very good morning,
so
Mike.
So business outlook, ANZ, I see a little bit of light there. Do you?
No, it's a good one. It's a good one. So, yeah, we've said goodbye to August. We're rapidly romping through the year, aren't we? We got the latest read on the state of play of business from the ANZ Business Outlook. This is for the month of August, so timely, high-frequency data. The ANZ have entitled it Holding Up. I think that is a succinct description. So business confidence at the headline level fell 2 points, 56 to 54, and expected own activity eased 1 point to 48. But context is ever is key here, Mike. Both of these measures are at high levels historically, and they are hanging on. But I think probably the most telling piece of data in this survey is they ask a question about reported own activity.
Yeah.
So this isn't sentiment, yeah, Mike. It's not a guess. This is a measure of your business's activity versus where it was a year ago. Now that's lifted 6 points. So I think that's another nod to the underlying better mood of domestic economy. It's real stuff. It is improving. There was a small lift in inflation expectations from 3.14 to 3.26. But look, as I said, the surprise is this lift in reported own activity. Now, if I look into the detail there, it was driven by a lift in the services sector and the agri sector. Now, probably not surprised at the agri move, but the movement in the services sector is notable. It's not a trend yet, but it's just lending to support to the thesis that the economy is improving. Services are a big part of the local economy, and they are getting better. And that's despite the ongoing political and geopolitical uncertainty. Look, there is quite a bit sort of going on in the wage intention results in this as well. ANZ called this out. Look, it's volatile, but there does appear to be some hint that wage pressures are building. It's not a robust read yet, but it's just one to keep an eye on. So key takeaways, confidence is holding up. Cost and pricing intentions remain elevated. Of course, it's OCR week, and so there's no reason to believe that the RBNZ won't put another 25 basis points on the OCR just to get it closer to neutral.
Right, give us a read on Winton. Is there anyone left?
It's becoming a saga, and for an NZX-listed business, this is messy. It's not a good look. So last Thursday, we noted that the newly appointed chair of Winton, and Winton is an NZX-listed company, of course, a property business. Well, Stephen Joyce, he'd resigned. He'd only lasted 51 days in the job. He left together with another independent director. The reason given was fundamental misalignment of expectations between the board members and the company's major shareholder. Well, I said, watch this space. Well, you didn't, excuse me, you didn't have to wait long. Since then, Director Julian Cook has resigned. He'd taken up an expanded executive role after the founder, Chris Meehan, stepped down. That was July the 6th. Now the CFO has resigned. And yesterday, the company was suspended from trading on the NZX. The reason being, as you said, there's no independent people left in the governance positions. So the company no longer meets the NZX listed rules relating to board and audit committee composition. There's another director hanging in there. A guy called James Kemp, he's representing the interests of another major shareholder, which is Macquarie. So I would have thought they'd be quite concerned about what's happening. Look, Mike, it is an unusual situation because you've got the exiting, so the founder, Chris Meehan, and his wife, they're the major shareholders, own 55% of the company. He stepped down from the board, but it looks very much like he was still getting involved. This will, though, Mike, increase scrutiny on the company itself. Yeah. So I say again, the story isn't over yet.
Right. Give me the word on China. So backwards, but not as much as they thought. So is that good or bad?
I think it's sort of sitting a little bit in the middle. So manufacturing activity, so this is the PMI. It shrank for the second straight month. So the PMI edged up to sort of 49.8. So it was a bit better than they thought. I think 49.6 was the expectation. But what you've got now, Mike, is economists calling, they're calling for better growth over the rest of the year. But I think what you're going to see, Mike, now in China is you're going to see renewed calls for more government stimulus because they just can't get that manufacturing sector moving.
Okay. Give me some numbers.
I can do that. Unfortunately, with the sort of machinations of the bond market and the oil price going up, sort of markets are a little bit weaker. The Dow Jones down 307 points, 0.57%, 53,252. The S&P 500 down 28 points, 0.36%, 7684 the close there. The Nasdaq 26,321, that's down 81 points, 0.31%. Overnight, the FTSE 100 did have a small gain, 32 points, 10,824. The Nikkei was down small, 0.14%, 66,311. 0.86 gain on the Shanghai Composite, 3986 there. Small fall in Australia yesterday, down 16 points. 9075, 0.18% fall. The NZX 50, though, had a good day. Lots of movements because it was the end of the month. But, Mike, what I want to say is we had that 14K party, but what have you done? I've been away for 2 days. Yep. It's now 13,917, but it did gain 1.08% yesterday. On the currencies, 0.5918 against the US, 0.825 at Aussie, 0.5095 euro, 0.4367 against the pound, 94.51 Japanese yen. Gold is trading at $4,436. Yeah, and as I said, Brent crude. Yeah. No relief here, Mike. $90.32.
That's what happens when you blow up islands. All right.
Correct.
See you tomorrow. I'm sure in partners, Andrew Kelleher.